If you would, please stand with me as we reverence the reading of God's Word. I have just a couple of verses here that we'll touch on. And again, we're looking at John's Gospel, chapter 16. We'll be looking at verse 33. And also we'll be looking again at the epistle of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, if you have your places there. And if you do, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Please stand with me as everyone is standing across the sanctuary. Let's look at verse 33. And the Scriptures thus say, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Now, that word tribulation simply means troubles. Anybody and everybody in here experience troubles in your life? We think about the Old Testament patriarch Job. And he stated this, "Man that is born of a woman is of what? Few days and full of trouble." So trouble comes with this life. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Now what does this have in relation to you and I tonight? Because as the Lord Jesus Christ is the overcomer, and He is because He has conquered death, hell, and the grave, we too, beloved, are overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single born-again believer redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God is an overcomer in this world. As we see over here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, beloved, but listen, by His mercy He has saved us, and it's through the faith and the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have this salvation and that we can proclaim ourselves as being overcomers." Again, He says, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Three times we see the word overcometh. Now we're going to see this word a few more times in the message here tonight as we try to help ourselves and one another to be more of an encouragement and pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege and an invitation to be here tonight, Lord, as we stand behind this sacred desk. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch this preacher. Lord, that you'd help me. Lord, that you'd clothe me in my calling, dear God. And that, Lord, that you'd hide me behind that cross, that old rugged cross, Lord, where we could stand and do nothing, Lord, except, Lord, you permit it, and, Lord, that you send it. So, God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd send the message that we need for this hour here tonight. God, may you touch hearts, those that are weary, Lord, those that are troubled. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, Lord, for all that you do. And Lord, how you minister to our needs. Because, Lord, if the Holy One doesn't come down, we will surely all be in vain here tonight. So, God, may you surely bless and move in our midst. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, beloved, I want to read these two verses here in chapter 5 of 1 John, whereas it says again, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" This being said, it still may be somewhat premature to state in this day and hour that we are in the post-pandemic era of COVID-19 as well as other concerning issues, that of worldly but also national and local concern. But I do desire tonight, beloved, to exhort you and to challenge you and to try to help you in that we can see that we need to weather continually the storms of life as we continue on. This may be somewhat of a part two message of that which I preached, I think, a couple of months ago, in that of stepping up in worrisome times. But as we look at this, The church has not gone unscathed in all of this that has come about upon this world, and particularly as we look at our own country and that within our local families. But as we look at this, all of this, I believe, is evident of the many sufferings and sicknesses and even deaths as such has been reported from various church assemblies. Beloved, let me say this to you. It has hit home on every front, on every side. But take heart. I want you to keep the faith, and I want you to press on, church, for we are God's elect, and we are God's chosen, and we are also the overcomers that have and continue to combat this world's adversarial forces, all the may which briefly beset us, or maybe even to befall us. But praise God, we've got one who can pick us up and dust us off and pat us on the back and establish and reestablish our goings in all that we need to do. Beloved, as I look at this, I think about all of the trials and the troubles. But as we see this, we'll know that what Jesus is speaking here in that of our text in John chapter 16, this is a continuation of that which had already been ministered unto His disciples. The disciples were so concerned, and they were troubled in themselves and in their every being, because the Lord had told them that He was on a mission. He was on a mission to go to the cross at Calvary. He had even said to them, I understand, no less than about 5 times in the Scriptures, that He must go and that He must lay His life down for that of this old sinful world, and also sinful creatures such as you and such as I. Beloved, as we see this story unfolding, we see there in John chapter 14, in verse 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. And then, beloved, also in that same text, we see there in John 14, it says, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, beloved, in context, we see here that all of these things that compass us all around, the trials, the temptations, the tribulations, and the troubles of this world and of this life, beloved, they can become overcoming unto us. But praise God, we've got one who has overcome, and through Him, beloved, we can overcome continuously in the things that are facing with us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 8 and 9, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then, beloved, one of the favorite scriptures that I want to share with you here tonight, it would be good that you would mark it in your Bible and go to it and refer to it on occasion, beloved, and that I think that it would be an encouragement to you and help you and benefit in that of your time of need. The Bible says in the 34th Psalm, there in verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their what? Their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So we know that God is every faithful, my friends, to help us, that these things that beset us or befall us, that we can continue on, my friends, and we can keep our stride, keeping the faith going further, my friends. Work until the day comes, beloved, that we work no longer. And I also see that Paul, as he wrote to the church at Rome, he says and gives us these words of encouragement, but also in that of a challenge and exhortation. As we look here in Romans in chapter 8, the Bible says unto us, first of all in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How many believe that tonight? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why? How? Because we're overcomers, praise God. We go on and we look down just a little bit farther in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, there's that old word again, tribulation, troubles, shall trouble troubles, tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What is that word, conqueror, Brother Steve? It's the overcomer, praise God. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. You know, God's love and God's empowerment will always, never failing, see us through, beloved. Some of these setbacks come from without, and many of these setbacks come within. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about there's things beyond our control, beloved, that comes from the outside upon us. Those things may blindside us from day to day. But let me say this to you. Nothing has ever taken God by surprise. Nothing has never blindsided Him, Brother Steve. He knows what we're getting ready to go through. And praise God, He'll usher us through it. He'll walk us through it in all of the times of troubles. And listen, beloved, we've got our faith and our hope within. But sometimes, beloved, within ourselves we fail. And we are coming short of the things that we need to do. So oftentimes we bring the sin in our life that we need to expunge, and we need to eradicate the sins, beloved, that will beset us and that take us out of where that is the safety hedge that God has given to us. Listen, beloved, we're overcomers. I think back there in the Old Testament era, and we can look at the captivity of the people there, God's people in Egypt. And y'all are very familiar with the story and all that is set through and that of the Exodus of going out. But as we look at that and we think on that, beloved, that is a beautiful picture of that, of being overcomers to that of the might and the power of Almighty God. And I see the story here, and here's God watching His people. And let me say this to you tonight, church. God is still watching His people. God is still overshadowing us with His wings. God is still showing and rendering mercy and grace to each and every one of us in their lives. Our brother testified of the love of God and the grace of God tonight. Listen, beloved, His grace is bestowed upon each and every one of us. But as we look at that story, the Bible says that God has heard their cries and He has seen their oppression, and He commissions Moses to go down and there to command Pharaoh to let His people go. Let them go that they may go into the wilderness and worship Me and serve Me. And Pharaoh would agree to that which Moses had commanded, and then he would renege on that of what he said. So God says, we'll remedy the problem. We'll send some plagues on him. We'll make a believer out of him. Praise God, let me say this to you. I believe old Pharaoh was a believer, but he was still a hard head and rebellious, my friends, of that of the one and only Jehovah God. But there we can see all of the things that transpired. The plagues came upon them, and ultimately the death angel plague came upon them. And there we can see in the story of what has happened here, every firstborn of every living creature fell to that in death. But God with His people, standing strong with His people, standing sure with His people, delivered them on out from that. And therefore, beloved, as they continued on, they were overcoming one thing and another as they continued. Battle after battle, skirmish after skirmish, war upon wars, the little mighty band of Israelites. My friends, let me say this to you. God and you are the majority. It doesn't matter how big the armies or the forces may be. God is still, my friends, in control of all of this. He is still overpowering all of the enemy forces of hell and everything that comes upon us. But we see how they were delivered unto that. And my friends, it was because of their consistence and their persistence in that of following God, even though in rebellion within their heart so oftentimes. I think back as I read the scriptures, Brother Steve, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I see time and time and time again where it says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord again and again and again. Much like you and I today, beloved, again and again. But listen here, I believe that we can still be the overcomers. Because God, that's how God has ordained this. We look back, fast forward now, from that time back in the Old Testament economy to the New Testament era. And as we see there, we can forward ourselves over into the book of Revelation. And I know that Revelation is so inspiring to most people. It seems like when folks get saved, the first thing they want to do is read the book of Revelation. And they get so mixed up in their head, they don't know whether they're coming or going. But beloved, we need God's prophetic word to tell us what we are in store for and what to expect. And that, beloved, that we can maintain and keep that hope of His coming, praise God. Hey, Jesus is coming, amen. Let me assure you of that tonight. But as we look at this, there are the seven churches of Asia Minor that consisted of the church of Ephesus and the church of Smyrna, the church of Pergamos, the church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church of the Laodiceans. Beloved, as we look at these seven churches, now those that are you are students of the Word, and there should be several in here, I would think. You will know that these seven churches, they were literal existing churches in our Lord's day. And there, beloved, Christ is, through John the writer, addressing these churches. And each one of these churches represents a particular period in time. You have the seven churches, and you've got seven dispensations of these different churches through a period of time. Now, each one of these churches presents a certain characteristic, Brother Steve. Each one has a particular characteristic. The church of Ephesus all the way through to the church of that of Laodicea. And as we look at this, even though they are pronounced in a particular characteristic for that church in that age, there's also an interaction of all of the things that exist and coexist in those seven churches that are predominant in age to age to age to age. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? The church of Ephesus do what? They forgot their first love. Huh? Hey, can I tell you tonight, there are still many assemblies that's got a steeple on the building, stained glass in the windows, and they're holding services every week. Hey, they have forgot their first love. It's existing today. And we're somewhere in between. Now, your Bible scholars will argue this time and time again, but I've got my own opinion, and it's all based on the Word of God. I believe that we're somewhere in between the Philadelphian church age and the Laodicean church age. You say, why do you say that, preacher? Because when the rapture comes, the true and the living church is going out. And the church of the Philadelphians is the true remnant church for God's people. The Laodicean church is the apostate church. They are the church that has departed from the faith. Beloved, can't you see both sides of that in this day and time? Hey, listen, I can come into Bible Way Church and I can see some of the Philadelphians right here in this church. And then I can go down the road, Brother Steve, and I can walk into another church assembly, and all I see is apostatism. Amen. Come on now. Amen. We're still able to make that decision. Are we going to have our feet planted in the right church, or are we going to have our feet planted in the wrong church? And then for some, they want to straddle the fence. Beloved, there's no fence straddling in this. You're either on the right side or you're the wrong side. And then we can look at some of the other church. Look at the church, for example, of Sardis. The church of Sardis, they had a name that liveth but was dead. Yes, there was a remnant in that church that had not defiled their garments. But the church was dead. Beloved, I can take you from church to church in this day and time. In fact, I've been in some of late. They are just as dead can be. There's no spirit of life. And I'm talking about God's life in the church. There's no breath of spiritual airness in those assemblies. The Philadelphian church is going up. The Laodicean church is going down. Say, how do you know that? I'm going to tell you. The Bible says to the Laodicean church, I will spew them out of my mouth. You know what that means? God says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. But He cannot vomit the child of God out of His mouth. Can't do it. We're one of His. We're not a bastard child. We're one of His. Now, out of these seven churches, five of these churches received condemnation. Two of the churches received commendation. And that was the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. The church of Smyrna was the what? It was known as the martyr's church. And as I've already stated, the Laodicean church is that of the apostate church. But all of these churches, like I said, they're integrated in characteristics, even though they present a particular characteristic for the church. But what I want to emphasize to you tonight, by the way, and I say this out of a heart of love for you. And Brother Steve, I do appreciate this church. I appreciate this church greatly, and I appreciate the people in this church. I simply say, God bless you. God bless you. But I want you to look at something here. The emphasis is that of overcoming. And it doesn't matter whether you receive words of commendation or words of condemnation. I realize there's just a few letters difference, but I can say this to you tonight. There is a world of difference from as far as the east is from the west and the west is from the east. That's the difference between the two words. And we can see this exemplified here in the Scriptures. But here is the commandment that goes out to each and every church. And here is also the expectation that goes out to each and every church. And we read those words, He that overcometh. He that overcometh. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Turn with me right on over to the book of Revelation. I still preach when I'm trying to teach. Y'all just pardon me. I can't help it. I get excited. Hey, it's all right to get excited. Did I wake some of you up? Praise God. Let's look here just a moment. What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, beloved, if this was good for the seven churches of Asia Minor, it's good for you and me today. We look here in Revelation chapter 2. Somebody there say amen. All right, that's more than one, so we're ready to go. Look here, first of all, at the book of Ephesus. In verse number 7, it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Beloved, can I just encourage you to understand what it is saying here? It says, to him again that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. If you'll recall, I believe that this is the same tree that is spoken of in the Garden of Eden. I see some heads nodding this way. I don't see any going that way, so I'm going to keep going. It's the same tree. Now, it doesn't say anything about the tree of knowing what? Good and evil. See, that's the one Adam and Eve took partake of. And now we see that the tree of life was the one that the Lord set on the outside of the garden there where the cherubims guarded with what? A flaming sword. Would not allow them. Because if Adam and Eve had eaten of that tree, praise God, they would have lived forever in a sinful state and nature. Y'all getting some Bible here tonight? I hope you are. But I believe that's the same tree. Hey, I got to tell this on you. The wife is always kidding me about planting trees. We have any tree planters? Got one back here. How about tree huggers? Welcome to the Al Gore family. Wife used to kid me. I'd plant a tree out in the yard. And I got this thing about trying to be, what's the word? I'm trying to figure it. Miss Eve, you help me here. Where is she? Symmetric. I had to have my tree symmetric, Brother Steve, wherever I planted them. If I had two trees, one had to match the other. I'd plant the tree. I'd plant that tree. I'd sit back and I'd look at those trees. And I'd say, I don't like where they're at. Here I'd get the shovel and the hoe and the pick, and here I'd start moving trees. Hey, sometimes that tree would sit there for a couple of years. And here I'm out there all yoked up with this thing, pulling out roots, Brother Garrett, to move that sucker. It's bigger than me. That's all right. I'd grab a hold of it like a cowboy grabbing the horns of a bull, and I'd drag that sucker across the yard and replant it. So I was always being kid. I don't do that much anymore because I'm too old. I try to get the wife to do it, but she won't do it. But what I'm trying to say is that tree that was planted in the Garden of Eden is being transplanted into heaven, in paradise. And praise God, when we get there, we'll have every entitlement. You're talking about worldly entitlements. We'll have a heavenly entitlement to the tree of life. In the midst of paradise, and that can only mean one thing, it's got to be heaven. Then we look at the church of Smyrna in verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We're still talking to the churches. Listen, by the way, we're still talking to you. God's still talking to you. He says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The best way I know how to describe this is that of the late D.L. Moody of yesteryears. And he used to state it like this, and I'm sure that you have heard it at some point in time in your Christian walk in life. He says that the man that is only born once will die twice, but the man that is born twice will only die once. I believe that's exactly what the Scriptures is saying right here. Look again what it says. He that overcometh, he that, my friends, that can follow Christ, not by works, but follow Him in faith, shall not be hurt of the second death. I've been excused. I've been acquitted, Brother Ralph. I'm free. And if Jesus makes you free indeed. I'll not experience that second death. Praise God. And then we look on down to the church of Pergamos. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And that's in verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Praise God, it makes me think of that old song we sing, I got a new name written down in glory, and I know that it's mine. Praise God, as we look here, that's what he's saying. We know how God provided manna to his children when they were in the wilderness. But beloved, we haven't tasted of that heavenly manna in the manner of what God is speaking here. It's the hidden manna. It's the manna that nobody has partaken of. But when we sit, my friends, at his glorious table of meat, we'll find a hidden manna being bestowed upon the children of God. I will give him a white stone. There's a story behind this, but time will not permit it here tonight. But that white stone means that I've been acquitted and I've got a new name. And the only way that I can get a new name if I have been acquitted of that of my sin, praise God. Praise God, glory abound. I'm saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. And he says, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. But then we see the church of Thyatira over in verse 26. And it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Can I say this to you, children? Hey, listen, as God again is overcomer, we are overcomers, and we will sit with Christ when he judges the nations. We'll be on the judgment board, Brother Steve. You didn't realize she's getting all these benefits. And then, the church at Sardis. He says in verse 5, chapter 3. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And beloved, it is speaking of righteousness. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Thank God, my name's in the Lamb's book of life tonight. Can you say that? Praise the Lord, it's in there. And I believe it's written in the precious blood of the Lamb of God right there in his book. And it says his, that he'll not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Hey, listen, beloved, I am holding to that. I believe what God says, and I believe that I have overcome these things, beloved. And if that I get thrown aside, or I stumble, or I fall, or I get jolted, or I tilt, my friends, God is always there to pick me up and straighten me up and keep me going as I need to go for Him to His glory. But here, as we see and move on, we see the Church of Philadelphia. In there in verse number 12, it says, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Beloved, I like those words as it says to the true and living church. Beloved, he says, He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. Hey, listen, my friends, as I see that, I know right now that I am a building stone in that which Christ is doing. He is the chief cornerstone, and the apostles are laid upon the stones, and the people of God are upon the stones. But listen, beloved, there's coming a time when we're in glory that we will be the pillars of His temple. And it says there's no more going out. That simply means that every one of us who has taken a stand, we have stood for the things of God. No more will they move us out. Do you realize, and maybe you do realize by now, there's some churches they won't let me preach in. Yeah, you heard the wife, it's the truth. Some, they'll have me back. But I've been in some, praise God, you didn't even get one of these going out the door. And what about the men of God, the ministers of the gospel, beloved, who has taken a firm stand and has preached, thus saith the Lord, the word of God. They haven't abstained from it. They haven't withdrawn from it. They haven't willy-washed from it, my friends. They have stood true. Hey, listen, the Bible says that He will be a pillar and there'll be no more moving out of that man of God or that saint of God that will stand for what's right. If a man comes in this church speaking and preaching wrong doctrine, you've got a responsibility to move that man out. Amen! But if that man is standing tall and he's standing on the sure foundation, the sound foundation, the rock of our defense, the high tire, our defense, our sword, our means, praise God, you are to support that man of God and uphold that man of God. And Pastor Vinoy, I'll just say this. I believe you to be one. Support your pastor. Thank God for him. He's not afraid to preach this old blessed book. And I thank God for those 7,000 that are still out here. Hey, listen. Elijah, there's still 7,000 out there that's not bowing a knee to Baal. And I thank God for him. Then lastly, we see the church of Laodicea. We see here in verse 21, chapter 3, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, did you catch that? And am set down with my Father in his throne. Say, preacher, what does that mean in his throne? What is all this saying? It's just simple, beloved. It's as simple as it can be. If we as the redeemed of God overcome the trials and the tribulations and the testings of this world and we hold true to the faith, in other words, our profession is our possession. You still follow me? If we have this, we can't lose it. It'll not be taken away from us. We are overcomers. And simply speaking, as Jesus Christ, will sit there in His throne, there beside the Father. You and I, as the redeemed of the Lord, will be sitting there in and with the person of Jesus Christ. He's not going to be too good to sit with us. I'm looking forward to it. It reminds me of my father-in-law. He's an old Baptist preacher. They didn't give up on me. I went from a hellion to one of God's called. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All of these things, I'll just leave that. God knows. I'll just leave that. But if we look back, I believe that the pivotal point in all of this, in this day and time, actually comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Remember I said now, some of these things are intermingled through all of the church age. But as we look there in verse 2, we see and read these words, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." Now pay particular attention to those words, beloved. Be watchful. How many times did Jesus tell His disciples to watch and to pray? Watch and pray. And then we see the admonishment of those that would not, the church. We see that in the parable of the 10 virgins. And there, beloved, in Matthew 25, one of the latter of the kingdom of heaven parables, we see whereas it says in there, while they all slept, the wise as well as the foolish, Brother Steve, they all slept. Listen, the church is asleep tonight, and people are dying and going to hell. Our churches are full of tares. We've allowed them to come in. And I believe in most cases we didn't allow them, Brother Steve, to creep in unaware. Too many times we want to build a big church and we're building on the wrong foundation. Numbers on a membership roll, beloved, is not a grounding for a true, fundamental, independent, missionary, premillennial Baptist church, or any other for that matter. It's got to be built on the right foundation. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Can I just encourage you here, church, tonight, to strengthen the things that you have. Whatever you have in place. Brother Steve, it doesn't matter whether you're a big church, as Bible Way would be considered in this day and time, or you're some little small church. I was in a church Sunday night, Brother Steve. There were 7 people in the church, and the wife and I were 2 of them. So actually, they had a congregation of 5 plus 2. But it doesn't matter if that preacher is there standing on the Word of God and doing what God has commanded and commissioned him to do. Praise God. Hey, listen, there's as much of a crown for him as a mega church, amen. Size makes no difference. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Whatever, beloved, that we have to work with, that's what we need to work with. And to be careful, because it also says unto us, we can let die what's left if we do not pick it up and move forward. So can I exhort you? Can I challenge you? Can I encourage you tonight to go forward, to lay aside, as the Bible says, every weight with a renewed spiritual vitality in the things of God and the service of the Lord. Let not this assembly, as many others listen have, become another casualty in defeat. And I reverently make this statement. Reverently. And I know I've heard this statement so many times. Irreverently. And that is simply, for Christ's sake. I say to you tonight reverently, for Christ's sake, be an overcomer. Because He's made you that. And you can be an overcomer whether it's in life or whether it's in death. I'm an overcomer in this life because Christ abides, the Spirit of God abides continually with me. And listen, if I would not open my eyes to the morning sun, praise God, I am still an overcomer because heaven is my home. Either way, I'm an overcomer. In closing, I want to share just a few verses that I'm sure that you're familiar with. But let's look real quickly at the book of Romans in chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. If you trust me to read it to you right, hey, listen, this is a King James Bible, and that's the only way I read it. And the Bible says in chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are we doing that? Beloved, listen, if we're in those confines, we are overcomers, praise God. And that's what you need to do to continue to be an overcomer. And then we see Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He says there in chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be an overcomer. You started out strong. Finish stronger than what you started. When we got saved and we come into the service of God, hey, listen, I can understand, and I did the same thing to a certain degree. I can see tippy-toeing in, Brother Ralph. But praise God, going out of here, we ought to be doing this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then, in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 7, and this is my closing comments to you here tonight. He says unto us, he that what? Overcometh shall inherit a few of my things. Y'all ready to get rid of me? I'm just checking on you. I'm just checking on you. Make sure. What does the Bible say? It's the biggest little word in all of the Scriptures. A-double-L. When you see A-double-L, that says what? All. And when God says all, it means all. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, it means all, Brother Ralph. And what is this promise? He that overcometh shall inherit all things and will be His God, and I will be His God, and He shall be my son. In other words, you'll be His people. For he that overcometh. I wonder, and I'm not asking for a show of hands as I'm closing. I wonder how many of us here tonight are leaving here troubled within our spirits. Troubled within our hearts. We've got problems and we've got difficulties. And it seems like all we find ourselves doing is wringing our hands and saying, woe is me. Woe is me. What am I going to do about this? Yes, brother, we have these problems. It may be physical issues. It may be financial issues. It may be domestic issues within the home. Beloved, it could be a host of a lot of different things. But if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you've overcome all of these things. Paul said, I came into this world with nothing, and I'll leave the same way. All that I have, my friends, belongs to God. I'm just using it. I've overcome. There's people that can't overcome unless they have the material things of this world and other devices and things. I'm an overcomer. Whether I was filthy rich or dirt poor, I'm still an overcomer. Are you tonight? Are you truly tonight? Are you going to go and leave here tonight after this old shouting preacher's quit hollering and start thinking about your circumstances?
and maybe even possibly say, I wish I could believe like that, or I could hold to that. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus says, I have overcome. You too can overcome. Because I am in you and you are in me. Brother, we're so yoked up together, we couldn't pry ourselves apart with a Mack truck and roller skates on it. That's how close and how holding that we are to our Lord. God bless you tonight, church. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege, this opportunity that I can stand before your people, Lord, and share the message, dear God, that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, we're in tiresome, troubled times, and we need you, Lord. And God, I surely pray, Father, that you'd minister to each and every need, Lord. There's probably not two people here tonight, Lord, that has the same needs. But God, you're unlimited. There's no boundaries upon you, Lord. There's no height, no breadth, no depth, Lord, that you can't reach out and you can't touch and you can't minister, Lord. And I pray for each and every one here tonight, Lord, that is encountering things, difficult things, Lord, that only you, Lord, can handle. And whether they're big or whether they're small, Lord, we need to turn them over to you. Help us, Lord. Help this pastor. Help this church. Lord, may this church be a lighthouse and a beacon to this community. And Lord, may it seek and bring in souls to the glory of Christ. But the only way we can do that is to be an overcoming church. God, I pray for that. For by the way, tonight, keep your hand upon them, Lord. I know your hand's upon them, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you keep your hand upon them. And that, Lord, that they would be faithful to do that in thy guidance and thy leadership. And Father, we'll surely thank you. We'll praise you. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's truly never been saved, Lord, they're not an overcomer, they're an undercomer. And as we've spoken of that second death, Lord, that's exactly what they're facing. And I pray, Lord, that the message, in whatever regard it would touch a heart, Lord, that it'd take its lodging place there. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people again said, amen. Amen.